rationale that you could help me better understand your position?
I think, you know, the ACLU was certainly disappointed with the court's action in Citizens United. I think they took the opportunity to overreach on issues that really hadn't been argued by either party. That said, this isn't the first time that a court decision has resulted in calls to amend the Constitution, and that's the primary concern today, is not that there aren't issues with campaign finance or the appearance of undue influence in elections by corporations or by individuals, but that amending the Constitution, weakening our First Amendment free expression rights, is a very dangerous approach.
So I guess that's why I'm asking, is how does saying corporations aren't individuals weaken the First Amendment for individuals? If you have a short answer, great. If you don't.
The short answer is I think there are issues of freedom of association, and the gentleman who testified earlier did discuss, and Mayor Adams has addressed, there are all forms of corporation, and when we get into limiting contributions as opposed to addressing full and fair disclosure of those contributions, mm-hmm. We're going down a very dangerous road of eroding for free expression.
Thank you.
But didn't the ACLU actually support the Supreme Court's decision?
We filed a brief in the case supporting, you know, urging the – but we do think that when the opinion came out, it went beyond what we were asking for or what any party to the,
and
to
is the
case was asking for.
And because you are a lobbyist under – I have a little more dialogue with you than I would a citizen, but is your position – is the ACSU's position to support – possibly sometimes, but in reality, anonymous, unlimited, general treasury, independent super PAC contributions?
Well, I think that full and timely disclosure of contributions is a very important approach from the ACLU of Oregon's perspective.
Is that consistent with the national ACLU?
There's national dialogue.
Keep dialoguing.
Yeah.
Well, if nothing else, you certainly demonstrated that you don't belong to one political end of the spectrum or the other. Yeah. So that's good.
Thank you for engaging us in discussion. You do this for a living, so I felt we could take this privilege. Hi, welcome.
Hi, I'm Candace Morgan, and I, in interest of good disclosure, I am on the board of the ACLU of Oregon, but I'm not speaking for the ACLU of Oregon. However, I would like to point out that the ACLU of Oregon is a separate corporation under Oregon law, and therefore we don't have to always go along with every bit. We have the dialogues, as Becky said. So, and I want to thank you, the City Council, for addressing this issue. It's a very important issue, but I think you're not addressing it in the most effective way. I won't have to repeat. I feel all the disgust that everybody has said today. But there are corporations are egregious in many, many things, on the environment, on their workers, on outsourcing things. And what we can know systematically, looking at history and looking how it's developing, is that no matter how many times we attempt to limit them by shutting them up or limiting them, they find a way to get around it. And I believe that what's proposed with these resolutions would not change that in one bit. And that if we seriously want to address the issues of the integrity of our election system, we have to have complete, strict, continuously enforced rules that bring about transparency. We need to know what's going on, and the only way we're going to need to know what's going on is to not focus on limitations, but on transparency. And that is a very important part for me. Now, on the issue of amending the First Amendment or amending the First Amendment in a way that weakens Oregon's Article 1, Section 8, our free expression, one of the strengths of both the First Amendment and Article 1, Section 8, it has never been amended. And that creates an integrity that discourages further amendments. And once we open it up, we will be facing possibly some very dire unintended consequences.
So time, I let you go over because we razzed a little bit, but your final thought Or was
my final thought is to paraphrase, since we're doing some quoting here today, the oft-quoted works were words of Justice Louis D. Brandeis: "The remedy for the effects of bad or evil speech is more speech, not enforced silence." And when we contribute to political causes, individuals
too. A final thought was not a final.
Well,
speech.
No. I'm just
Commissioner
just,
Fritz just has a question.
Well, I have a question which may allow you to make your
okay.
point. All right. How does the transparency help if only the candidate with a boatload of money has the money? Because how do you then get out the other person's point of view? That person
because,
got the money.
Because I believe in the, and this country was founded on the believing in the intelligence of the general public. And if we know so much, we don't know what's going on. And if we know what's going on, I believe that things will get better. I do. And our history shows that.
We have transparency in the Oregon reporting system.
Yes.
I hope you're right.
In Oregon, yes. It's not as complete, perhaps, as it should be, but yes, Oregon is a star in that. But the rest of the country needs to have it, too. So we should, the City Council of Portland should be focusing on forwarding the Oregon model, thinking about ways that might be strengthened, perhaps even finding out a better way to do the public financing that I supported, but it didn't work. But that doesn't mean we throw it away and don't think it's something. So spend your efforts on that.
Fair enough. I think I have a respectful disagreement with you that spending money is free speech. So,
yeah.
Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Heidi Sackos. I am also with the Occupy Solutions Committee. And outside of doing that, I also have a long history working in community mental health. And I will be brief. I just want to say I'm in full support of this resolution. I do think there is another aspect here besides just money and politics, and that's something that I would call the very fabric of our social culture, which is also so important for the future. And the term person's human being, to me, is something that is sacred to us. And at no time should we confuse those things with anything else, not just for ourselves, but for our children, the grandchildren, and all generations going forward, because those things mean something. They distinguish us and what we are and what we strive to be, not anything else. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it, sir.
Hi. So my name is Stephen Quirk. I'm not really representing anyone right now but myself, but I work for a nonprofit that's a watchdog in the Forest Service called BARC, and I worked for the Green Party for a long time too, so that's sort of my perspective that I bring to this. So first of all, I am going to go over a minute. That's going to happen, but do let me know.
Guess what? I get to decide how far over. How far do you want?
Roughly double, roughly. Yeah, I mean, if I'm really boring and you,
no,
just
no,
things
no.
that need
we'll,
to happen.
We'll
you
give
know.
You a full 2 minutes.
Excellent.
Starting now.
Okay. So first, I support the resolution. I especially support referring it to voters. People need to know about this. It shouldn't just be another decision that City Hall makes and everyone just sort of, you know, no one even knows that it exists. So corporations aren't people. The progression that's occurred is from the view that they are artificial entities that can sue or be sued, which is fine. There's a long history of that. You would like to be able to keep them accountable, and they might want to hold property and that sort of thing. But the progression that occurred was they started saying, well, we're also natural persons, so we can start seizing upon the Bill of Rights. We can use this as a legal argument as a shield to basically empower ourselves. So this is just a legal argument. Corporations are not a thing. They don't exist tangibly. They're a group of people planning things who are using this as a shield to empower themselves over other people. So that's the first thing we need to understand. And that progression is very nonsensical. One way to look at it is if the U.S. government had, as a person, as an entity in a court that can sue and be sued and hold property, if they became a natural person and had the right to privacy, we're in a fascist government. I mean, we would not be allowed into this room right now to speak, and that's wrong. And corporations are a governing institution. I mean, we are surrounded by them constantly, and the decisions they make about production or how we're going to work or what wages will look like. So they're empowered to make lots of decisions that affect us, and that fundamentally, I think, makes them an institution that's accountable. And they were created for the single purpose of making money. That's fine. They're very good at it. But if you start letting them absorb other things, that it's very problematic. You end up in the situation we're in, which is an ecosystem that's being really destroyed and converted into profits ruthlessly. In the moment, people might start voting to say, we want more regulations. Well, they're preempted by corporate rights. But corporations don't have rights. They have privileges. Secondly, money is not speech. The right to buy an election is not in the First Amendment. The word corporation does not even exist in the Constitution. And that idea that the First Amendment commands us to let our electoral system be purchased is a fundamental inversion of that democratic principle that's enshrined in it. So it's a total toppling, and I don't think anyone is really fooled by that. It's just it's sophistry, essentially. So the main thing I want to say is that sustainable economics is not compatible with corporate personhood. And that's, I think, what everyone really needs to be thinking about right now, because I think we can all probably acknowledge that's the preeminent challenge of our times right now. How do we make jobs work with a sustainable environment that continues to provide us with food and energy and the things that we need to survive?
So I need you to wrap up.
Okay, wrapping up. So essentially, corporations want to take advantage of these rights to create monopolies, okay? They want to basically break down competition, absorb them, buy access to subsidies, and basically abuse the environment to maintain a temporary competitive advantage. So if you look at farming, three-fourths of all farm subsidies are going to the top 10% of farms. Is this not wrapping up enough?
No.
Okay. So
it's really interesting, but I need you to really wrap up this time.
So basically, we have giant hog farms, 700,000 hogs on a farm. Okay. So now instead of having fertilizer, you have industrial waste. And we're draining vitality from rural communities. They're out of work now because we've artificially stuffed just everywhere. And if we wanted to change that, we would be preempted by, say, 14th Amendment personhood rights. So fundamentally, this is about being able to localize an economy and our ability to self-governance. And this is actually in the 10th Amendment. So we need to take advantage of that, and we need to get around these invented rights that have disempowered us.
Thank you for your testimony. Your assigned homework is to spend time with her. Thank you all for your testimony. You go off to the corner, and you both are, all four of you are great testimony, and we appreciate it. The next four?
Are Anna Joy Gillis, Nicholas Caleb, B. Conley, and Pam Alley.
And hi, welcome to the City Council. Appreciate your perseverance. Would you like to begin?
They'll be followed by Zachary Brugman, Sid Manro, Brian Seltzer, and Roger Wiedmer.
Hi.
Hi. Can,
yeah, get that close to you. Great.
Thanks. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be under a minute. Can I have more time?
You can have 2 minutes. Yes.
Two and a half?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. My name is Anna Joy, and I'm a student. And you may perhaps be troubled by whether or not a local city council has the authority to pass a resolution dismissing a federal Supreme Court case. So I'm here to testify as to the reasons that this upside-down federalism is in fact justified and imperative. In Citizens United versus Federal Elections Commission, a 5-justice majority issued a sweeping ruling on a narrow case, ignoring stare decisis and drowning our democracy in corporate money. The original question of whether a nonprofit could air a TV movie less than 30 days before the election was answered by allowing for-profit corporations, nonprofits, and labor unions no limit to political spending. The Supreme Court overstepped their bounds. They were the ones, as the ACLU woman previously was mentioning, they were the ones who basically amended the First Amendment. Their unconstitutional judicial activism and ignorance of the law means that it is our duty to step up. The basic premise of Citizens United is the proposition that the First Amendment bars regulatory distinctions based on a speaker's identity, including its identity as a corporation. This is utterly false. First Amendment rights can be regulated when the government has a compelling interest to do so, as seen with prisoners and schoolchildren. In Bethel School District Number 403 versus Frazier, the court asserted, and I quote, "Differential treatment is constitutionally suspect unless justified by some special characteristic of the regulated class of speakers, and that the constitutional rights of certain categories of speakers in certain contexts are not automatically coextensive with the rights that are normally accorded to members of our society." So to expand on those special characteristics of corporations, corporations have limited liability, perpetual life, and vast assets that can be foreign controlled. When a corporation speaks by contributing millions to a super PAC, who are they speaking for? Why give this profit-driven entity the power to influence political decisions? Imagine trying to fit General Electric into a voting booth. You can't. Corporations can't vote. They are not people. Corporate personhood is an invidious fiction that disenfranchises us. To conclude, I'm going to quote Justice Stevens' dissent in Citizens United, in which he states that when citizens turn on their televisions and radios before an election and hear only corporate electioneering, they may lose faith in their capacity as citizens to influence public policy. A government captured by corporate interests, they may come to believe, will be neither responsive to their needs nor willing to give their views a fair hearing. So thank you for this hearing.
And where are you a student at?
I just graduated from Franklin High School.
Well, yay. For this time only, you get a clap for her. All high school, recent high school graduates is the exception. Very, very well done. Thank you. Which law school are you going to go to now?
Undecided.
Hi, welcome back.
Actually, he's before me.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Everybody's been talking so much that I will try my darndest to keep it under a minute. I agree largely with most of what's been said here today. My name is Nicholas Caleb. I'm a professor of government at Concordia University, Portland. I'm an attorney as well. Have been seething about corporate personhood for a long, long time, and I'm happy to see that my local government is going to repudiate these silly doctrines at a local level. My students are introduced to this, and they immediately see how absurd it is. I'm very, very happy that that's happening here. The other thing that I wanted to point out very quickly is that although this will be a positive step in reclaiming our elections, we should continue to look forward to the much-needed reforms in government. My pet issue, I guess, would be the revolving door in government. Though we might win back our elections, we also have to take away the conflicts of interest that allow basically open bribery of elected officials with jobs in the private sector upon leaving. People go in, they go out, they make a bunch of money, go deregulate, go back to private industry. It's very, very silly. So I'll just end with that and say let's keep pushing forward. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you. And I think I speak for everyone. I say we're big fans of everything Concordia University does.
Great. I'll report back to them.
Yes.
Thank you. My name is Pamela Ali, and I'm speaking for myself. I do work in a very minor way with the Move to Amend folks. Thank you for passing the last resolution. And I'll cut to the chase, the lower half of my paper here. I'm here today to recommend that you act like you mean it by referring the issue of corporate personhood and money, which is not speech, to Portland voters this November in an already scheduled election. We the people will decide, can decide, and should decide whether or not to rein in or bow before the corporate powers that have hijacked our nation's well-being. And this has been at least over 30 years worth, blah, blah. This movement is more than a blip. It has become a tidal wave across the nation. We the people are fed up and pissed off, and I think a majority of us anyway. We're rising to stand for liberty and justice. We the people will occupy our lives and our nation, and I hope that you will help today by referring this issue to the voters. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Thank you all. Really appreciate it. And can you make sure you send us your testimony?
Mine?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I email it?
That'd be great.
Okay.
Carla will give you the email address. Or, okay. How many more?
Five more. The next four are Zachary Brugman, Sid Manro, Brian Seltzer, and Roger Wigner. And the last person is Richard Gill.
Hi, welcome. Thanks for persevering through our hearing. Appreciate it. Would you like to begin?
Thank you. Thank you for holding the hearing. My name is Zachary Brugman, and I'm here to speak about fundamental principles. James Madison in Federalist 58 declared that majority rule is the first fundamental principle of free government. Okay, so that really comes back to what is democracy? Democracy is control by a majority. Louis Brandeis, Supreme Court Justice, declared that we can have democracy in this country, or we can have great concentrated wealth in the hands of a few, but we cannot have both. So when we allow concentrations of wealth to completely dominate the elective process, lobbying of our government officials, what that's doing is that's allowing the minority will to control government. Clearly, in a democracy, that can't happen. Unfortunately, our Supreme Court hasn't seen it that way, but the people do. Our very independence, our contest with England was founded on this issue. We separated from a king and from an aristocratic House of Lords who imposed stamp acts. Minority rule basically was not really going good for the colonists, and that's why we declared our independence. The Novus Ordo Seclorum Annuit Septis, this is the motto on the back of our great seal. The new order of the ages, an undertaking favored by providence. This is majority rule. So we need to overturn Citizens United. We need to give our country back to the people.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony very much. Hi, thanks for waiting.
Hi. I am happy to be here. I'm noticing that you're discriminating against tall people. I can't get very close.
Yes.
No, you can pull the things closer to you.
Oh.
Whole thing moves.
I'll knock over the camera.
Sorry, that desk is old. People were.
Well, I mentioned that because we actually have had the whole council chambers looked at for folks with disabilities. Tallness, not my son is tall, so he's not always considered to have that disability, but it certainly is challenging. So thank you for bearing with us.
Yeah, thank you very much. And Mr. Mayor and also Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Leonard, members of City Council, Occupy Portland, specifically the Solutions Committee, responsible citizens who are here and couldn't be here today. My name is Sid Manro, and I'm representing Citizens Rights Action Group here in Portland. And I want to thank you one and all for your considerable efforts on the behalf of living, breathing persons. I am so thankful to have a mayor who is championing the constitutional rights of natural persons and calling attention to the fact that those rights are potentially being usurped by corporations. This non-binding resolution before you today is an important first step to call attention to corporations potentially having more rights than natural persons. This resolution builds awareness and it supports and builds support for what I view as the next step that's underway right now. And that step is to draft a city ordinance that enshrines the rights of natural persons, denounces that corporations have rights, and ensures that living, breathing humans have a say in their own government as the sovereign people. This ordinance language will come from the work of CELDF, CELDF.org. They have created a template from similar ordinances that they've helped get passed in over 130 townships across the country. And one of which is happening in Bellingham, Washington, about whether or not they wish to allow coal to be trucked through the railways there that they have say over. I urge the City Council to adopt this resolution as it's written, and I further urge the City Council to refer that to the voters. And finally, I urge the City Council to support a binding city ordinance that protects the constitutional rights of natural persons, ensures that the natural power flows through we, the sovereign people, and not from legal fictions. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Sir, welcome back.
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I am an authority on the law. I've studied or practiced law for nearly 50 years. 35 years ago, I was the director of the Consumer Fraud Department in the District Attorney's Office. When I speak in the Supreme Court, Court of Appeals, or any of these other courts, no attorney, no judge questions the truthfulness of a single statement I make about who the citizens in this country are and the rights that they have. And that, the cornerstone principle in this country is the equality of the citizens. And those that are working are divided into two groups, public employees and private employees. And if that public employee wants to take something from a private citizen, that citizen has to be given equal protection and due process of law. Now, that is written in stone in our Constitution. It's written in stone in our federal courthouse, justice before the law, and that is what has been stripped out of the system. I was instructed by some of the best instructors, Harlow Lennon, Thomas Tongue, Bill Dale, were all instructors of mine when I went through law school. And it's this principle of remedy for the citizenry. This is what has been stripped out of the system that people do not understand, that we become an administrative government, and that the people's rights to equal protection, due process of law, are being have been in the past ignored. Now, this is what all of this Occupy movement is about. It's remedy. That if some bureaucrat wants to take, and I was, as I said, 35 years ago I ran the Consumer Fraud Department. If I want to take something from someone, I give them notice. And that person has a right to challenge the facts on which I'm relying and the law. And if I'm not, if I can't prove it, they win. That's how our system was set up. And that's what we have to, what I'm working for, to restore to the citizens. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you again. Hi, welcome. Thanks for persevering.
Thank you. I have been persevering. First of all, I want to say thank you for having this. My name is Brian Setzler. I'm a CPA in town. I own a business called Trilibrium and Trilibrium Wealth Management. I do business advising. I'm also on the faculty of the Bainbridge Graduate Institute, teach MBA students. I love business. I want to, first of all, I'm urging that you support both these measures and pass them, and that you do refer these to the voters. I want to, first of all, clear up that I don't believe in any way that these are anti-business resolutions. And earlier I was here when you talked about Portland small business. I advise small businesses. I can't think of a single one of the companies I advise that this would impact at all. The issue is really about corporations are an innovative business structure. They have a function. They have a certain tax profile that makes sense for business owners. And that when corporations were first idea came up, and it was an innovation that made a lot of sense and allowed people to come together freely, but they always were on the obligation side of the ledger, not on the right side. So corporations had duties and obligations, not rights and privileges. The rights and privileges were limited immunity, lifetime lifetime perpetuity, and those things. So again, we're getting near the end of the day. I'll just want to say urge support in a couple things that if you have never seen the movie The Corporation, I'd really recommend that. And also David Corton's book that came out in about 99, When Corporations Rule the World. We really are in a situation where corporate domination is controlling much of our public life. They decide lots of decisions. And we need to have the people as sovereign. Corporations are not people. Money's not speech.
Thank you for your testimony. Again, thank you all. Really appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Our last person?
Richard Gill.
Richard Gill. Welcome back.
Thank you. No, it's the end of the day, and you guys are tired. Mr. Leonard, Ms. Fritz, and Mr. Mayor. Thank you for allowing me to come forward. Final comment for the day, I'll be brief, is what you're discussing here with corporations is something that's been discussed in history a long time ago. African-American people, Indian people, especially African-Americans, were considered two-thirds of a person, okay? Now we have the chickens who have come home to roost in 2011 and 12, and we have this discussion of corporations having the same rights endowed by us by our Creator. This is what our forefathers talked about. the fact that you have had the bold and courageous spirits as commissioners to take this on is credit not to our state, but to our city. And there's a statement that says, keep Oregon weird, but I think that we should keep Oregon progressive. And you are taking some bold steps, and I think that as an African-American man and part Indian as well, I think that history will judge you based upon your boldness, your courage, your courageousness by getting this to the people. Because if you go down, your posterity will look at you and say, why, when we had the opportunity, did not we strike the corporate mentality down? Why did we allow in 2012 our city to be moved by the corporate movement of money only and capital? I've been in the banking world for many, many years. I've put more people in this town in homes when they said they couldn't be gotten into them, and now we keep them in them in this marketplace. Corporations, there's a recent Supreme Court decision in the last few days that allowed the 503C, the churches that enjoy a tax-exempt status, their employees cannot sue the church when it comes to a separation of their religious duties versus being a person. You may have been aware of that.
Yep.
Now, that goes to what we were talking about today. Where the rights of a corporation begin, the rights of a human being endowed with inalienable rights as our forefathers and God has given us, where does that begin? So I appreciate the bold steps that you've taken. I know that you're ready to go home.
No, we have another item after this.
Okay, one more. But I tell you this, thank you for taking the forward steps that you are. Continue to take bold steps to create a Oregon that is a place for the youth, for the middle generations and the old. This is a coming together for solutions. We are aware of the problems. Don't let this time go by without you passing these resolutions that would create a equality for all human beings, not like it was back prior to civil rights when we were struggling to be equal to you as a Caucasian American. We as African Americans now see that corporate America is doing, trying to do what Jim Crow laws and things from the South, what we have fought for generations, and we still fight for today, even our Senate and Congress, with trying to pass those things that are good for Americans, not Republican, not Democrats, not independents, good for Americans, depending. It doesn't matter if we have a black president, a white president, whoever it may be. And I appreciate you allowing me to share that with you at the end of your day.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fritz. Mr. Walsh said, you have no idea how proud we are of you today. You have no idea how proud I am to be sitting up here today. And as the only member of the council elected by the people of Portland giving me $5, I've never accepted corporate contributions and I never will. And when I was elected with 1,000 good Portland voters giving me $5 to allow me to win public campaign financing, that allowed a former registered nurse to have the money necessary to run a campaign. And money in politics is, it's not democracy, it's not participatory democracy, it's money. I respectfully disagree with the American Civil Liberties Union that transparency substitutes for restrictions on that money. It was transparent who funded the campaign to defeat public campaign financing, and yet it went down. I believe that we need to get that back. The folks who advertised against public campaign financing said that it was a drain on the general fund. The reality is that the cost is much higher when the people are taken out of the discussion and money becomes the only or the main means to get elected. The small amount of investment in public campaign financing fosters the development of genuine public discourse when those running for office don't have to overwhelm others by the sheer volume of advertising that can be purchased. The problem existed before Citizens United, but that ruling has taken the problem to a new level never seen before with these super PACs where millions of corporate dollars are funneled, especially at the national level. We are in Portland, though, and somebody else commented how this surprising that you can come into city council chambers and have this discussion and have genuine input. We changed the resolution based on the input that we heard. And I particularly want to thank David Delk and Jeff Stuckey and Donna Noonan, who came in to council testifying under citizen communications. Anybody can come into the City of Portland council chambers on a Wednesday morning. You sign up with the council clerk the Thursday before and make sure that you get your turn, because we have 5 slots each week. It's first come, first served. And those 3 folks came in and talked about this resolution and asked us to do it, and the mayor acted on it. And when Ms. Noonan came in and said that it needs to be stronger, the mayor and I had a conversation after that and said, yes, it does. And so I'm very much looking forward to the next discussion. This resolution directs the city attorney to look into how we would do the referral. I hope we have just as robust support for that. And I also need to note that there are many corporations that provide great family wage jobs, and that is also an important component of our community. There are many corporations which are sustainable and do great things in our community. But corporations are guided by the people who run them. And those people can change and do change because, as was mentioned, corporations can live forever and people do not. So those running corporations can learn as well and be good stewards and good citizens. So we're not saying that corporations are bad. We're just saying that they're not people. At least that's my intent. This resolution sends a message that we are serious about defending our democracy and protecting our rights. If you look in the window of my office, which is in the southwest corner on Fifth Avenue, I like to say it's the most grounded office because it's the closest to the ground on Fifth Avenue. I have in there the poster from Wisconsin, "This is what democracy looks like," and also my Oregon Nurses Association picket sign, which is because this is what democracy looks like. In Portland, we do have a democratic, and we have city commissioners who, although they weren't elected with $5, do care and are upright, good standing citizens who are very aware of the need to make decisions based on the good of everybody rather than on the corporate donors. So that's clear to me also, having served on the city council for 3 years, is that every member of this council, no matter how they were financed, has the good of the people of Portland at heart. And that's evidenced by our support for this resolution, that we will move forward on some progressive statements and we will work with you, the citizenry. That's what we do here. We don't always agree on everything. We're not supposed to. That is healthy, and it makes us continue the discussions. So thank you for being here today. Thank you to the Occupy Portland folks who are here participating in the discussion and working on issues that people have been working on for many, many years. And so I thank those in the community who are seeing these reinforcements coming in of fresh energy, fresh people, fresh voices, and people willing to take time on a Thursday afternoon to come into City Hall to be part of democracy. This is what democracy looks like in Portland. Aye.
Leonard?
Thank you all for your work on this. I'm pleased to support it. Aye.
Adams?
Well, I want to thank everyone. There's some incredibly passionate and thoughtful testimony today, and I appreciate that. I realize that we had a conversation here, and the resolution before the City Council, gets into the details. But Portland at its best strives to be a thinking person city, and I know that we're going to approve this resolution, and it sort of gets put into the hopper of a less than thoughtful dialogue on this issue on the national basis. But I think the time and attention that we've all taken on this issue hopefully will elevate the conversation nationally in addition to locally. So thank you all, everyone involved. Again, thank you, Jennifer Yoakum, on my staff. Aye, it's approved. You can clap now. We'll take a 2-minute break. If you're here for the next agenda item, great. Otherwise, feel free to congregate outside in that large foyer. And we'll make our last council decision. No, we're going to. That's why I wanted to go. Okay. Hi. Sam.
Just for my clarification.
Yes.
It said there was going to be two votes because of the amendment.
Well, okay, I'm sorry to be confused. I said they could do it one of two ways, which is they could just introduce a clean one with the amendment, you know, and go right there.
Okay.
Or they could do that one of the amendments.
Okay. And so I see either of it, so it's two.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Thank you. Glad to get it clear.
Can I ask for the next?
It's the 2012 Federal Legislative Agenda Report.
Okay.
Yeah, which no one's missing. I know.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Is Martha, could you come up here a minute? Help me. Thanks, Janice. All right, so if you're not here for the next item, encourage you to spend some time. We have bowl run water in the water fountain.